Happy Thanksgiving, everyone. Thank you. I hope you had a great Thanksgiving Day on Thursday and that you're enjoying your extended holiday weekend. I wanted to start this morning about the idea of this federal holiday that we call Thanksgiving here in the United States. I don't know if all of you are aware, but when it was first made a federal holiday by the president, he made sure that it happened on the fourth Thursday all the time, because every once in a while there's a fifth Thursday, and so they didn't want to do the last Thursday of the month, and this is his reason for it. For the country that was coming out of the Great Depression, he wanted to make sure there was as many weeks of Christmas shopping available as possible. Did you know that? And so there's a little bit of a mercantile element to holiday, and it's still here. I mean, Black Friday and Cyber Monday tries to pump up the buying of things for the Christmas holiday. But in that, we kind of lost a little bit of the reason for Thanksgiving. That and the fact that in more recent years, and I've watched this happen with a little bit of a sadness, the United States population is becoming less and less Christian. There's a lot more people who even reject very strongly any aspect of the Christian heritage of the United States. And so when they come around to Happy Thanksgiving time, they make it all about making sure you say thanks to your friends, thanks to your workers, thanks to the people who are first responders and the people that serve in the military, thanks to your hairdresser, thanks to, you know, whoever. In the school, they even say the first Thanksgiving was all about the pilgrims saying thank you to the Indians for getting them through their first growing season. And they've missed out, really, on what the whole purpose of the American Thanksgiving was. And that feeds into what I want to talk about today, because we should be realizing all the time that Happy Thanksgiving is to be made to God. God is the focal point of the Thanksgiving holiday. I have here a printout of the very first Thanksgiving Declaration of the United States from President George Washington. And if you will bear with me, I want to read it to you. Whereas it is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey His will, to be grateful for His benefits, and humbly to implore His protection and favor. And whereas both houses of Congress have by their joint committee requested me, quote, to recommend to the people of the United States a day of public thanksgiving and prayer to be observed by acknowledging with grateful hearts the many signal favors of Almighty God, especially by affording them an opportunity peaceably to establish a form of government for their safety and happiness, end quote. Now, therefore, I do recommend and assign Thursday, the 26th day of November next, to be devoted by the people of these states to the service of that great and glorious being who is the beneficent author of all the good that was, that it is, or that will be, that we may then all unite in rendering unto Him our sincere and humble thanks for His kind care and protection of the people of this country previous to their becoming a nation, for the signal and manifold mercies and the favorable interpositions of His providence which we experienced in the course and conclusion of the late war, for the great degree of tranquility, union, and plenty which we have since enjoyed, for the peaceable and rational manner in which we've been enabled to establish constitutions of government for our safety and happiness, and particularly the national one now lately instituted for the civil and religious liberty with which we are blessed, and the means we have of acquiring and diffusing useful knowledge, and in general for all the great and various favors which he has been pleased to confer upon us. And also, that we may then unite in most humbly offering our prayers and supplications to the great Lord and ruler of nations, and beseech him to pardon our national and other transgressions, to enable us all, whether in public or private stations, to perform our several and relative duties properly and punctually, to render our national government a blessing to all people by constantly being a government of wise, just, and constitutional laws, discreetly and faithfully executed and obeyed, to protect and guide all sovereigns and nations, especially such as have shown kindness unto us, and to bless them with good government, peace, and concord. And then listen to this last line. To promote the knowledge and practice of true religion and virtue. Now, understand, at this time in American history, the word religion was a synonym for Christianity. Guaranteed. Not religion generally, Christianity. To promote the knowledge and practice of true religion and virtue, and the increase of science among them and us, and generally to grant unto all mankind such a degree of temporal prosperity as he alone knows to be best. You wouldn't see something like that today, would you? Our thanksgiving is due to God. It should happen to other people in our lives, most certainly. But primarily, our thanks is due to the God of gods, the King of the universe. And I want to share with you just a few passages of Scripture today to reinforce that. The first one I start with is from the book of Romans. In the book of Romans, Paul is starting concerned with unrighteousness and the fact that the wrath of God has to come upon those who practice unrighteousness. And in explaining some of that, he says, part of the reason why there is unrighteousness, part of the reason why there has to come the wrath of God is this. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse. For even though they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks. So he says, one of the reasons why we're in such a mess is because people, even though the creation is right there in front of them, even though it screams out at the top of its proverbial lungs, there is a God who made me, there is a God who organized me, there is a God who wanted good things for you. They don't acknowledge him, and they don't thank him for the good things that have come down from him. And so we as Christians need to make it one of our priorities to be thankful and to direct other people. You know, if you are thankful for the gifts that you have in life, make sure you thank God for those things. The second passage of Scripture, which I actually want you to turn to this one because I only threw up the first few verses, and I'm going to read a few others that are in the same context. 1 Chronicles chapter 16. The context is this. King David, the writer of so many psalms, the first great king of Israel that God chose, not the people. Saul was the people's choice. David was God's choice. He has brought the Ark of God's covenant, which is actually God's throne, to the new capital city of Jerusalem. And he has installed it in the palace grounds amidst great pomp and circumstance. And then he says, there needs to be worship songs always offered to God from this place in front of God's throne. And so 1 Chronicles 16:7 says this, then on that day, David first assigned Asaph and his relatives to give thanks to the Lord. So worshipful thanks, praise thanks. And this is one of their favorite lines in all the songs they like to sing. It's the first song, or first line in this long song. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the people. Sing to him. Sing praises to him. Speak of all his wonders. Glory in his holy name. Let the heart of those who seek the Lord be glad. One of the reasons when we get together for worship is to sing, to have music, to sometimes dance and wave our hands around in celebration, because God ought to be thanked. He ought to be praised. We should be excited to tell him what we think about him and to tell other people what we think about him. In the 1 Chronicles passage, it goes on in verse number 11. Look in your own text. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face continually. The praise music is supposed to be directing people to God. It's not about the people doing the singing. It's about the one being sung about. Go down to verse number 23. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Proclaim good tidings of his salvation from day to day. It even talks about what we should be singing about. We should be talking about how God saved us, how God redeemed us. And you've heard me talk about, what does Jesus' name mean? He who is salvation. He is the ultimate salvation that God has sent upon us, and we ought to be singing about him. Verse 24, tell of his glory among the nations, his wonderful deeds among all the peoples. Realize this is written by Jewish people about Gentile people. One of the things that the Jewish people were wanting to do is sing so loudly, praise so gloriously about the God that they served, so that the Gentiles out there would hear and respond and say, hey, I want some of that. I want that God as my God. And so when we praise, when we offer thanks to God, one of our goals is to make sure other people know how excited we are to be the son, the daughter of the Creator God of the universe, and we want them to be part of our family. Because he is just so fantastic. Verse 25, for great is the Lord, greatly to be praised. He also is to be feared above all gods. You know, one of the things that Paul said in that Romans chapter 1 is that some of these people rejected the story of the true Creator and started making up their own little stories about this little god or godling over here, or that little god or godling over there. And those gods and goddesses stories, the myths, typically those gods and goddesses looked an awful lot like the people. You know, they cheated on each other, they like to get drunk. They were manufactured out of the people's lives. We like these gods because they're an awful lot like us. But the true God who made all things said, be holy as I am holy. And when you become unholy, come to me and I will help you be holy again. You've heard me say this critique many, many times. The message is not God loves you just the way you are. The message is God loves you in spite of how you are, and He wants you to be like Him, and He's made a way for that. That's the message of the church. Verse number 31. Let the heavens be glad. Let the earth rejoice. Let them all say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Jesus is king, right? Let the sea roar, all it contains. Let the field exult, all that's in it. Then the trees of the forest will sing for joy before the Lord. One of the things that David in particular liked to do in a lot of his songs, he pictured creation itself having a party about God. When the wind blew through the trees and the trees smacked their limbs against each other, he said, let the trees clap their hands. When the sea roared up on the surf against the shore, he said, let the surf sing, let it roar to God. And here he is, because I'm sure he was involved in the writing of this, he's saying, let them tell the story of God, for He is coming to judge the earth. Verse 34, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His loving kindness is everlasting. This passage has one of those words that I've taught you from Hebrew repeatedly. The loving kindness word there, it's chesed, chesed. And it has the sense of this, God likes you. Isn't that good news? God likes me. He wants a relationship with me. And so we need to sing about, give thanks to the Lord. He is good. His loving kindness is everlasting. And they then say this, save us, O God of our salvation. You know that word. It's Hoshiagna. It's that Hosanna word, right? Say, Hosanna, O God of our salvation. Gather us, deliver us from the nations. Give thanks to your holy name and glory in your praise. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting even to everlasting. And then all the people said, what?
Amen.
Amen. And praised the Lord. Amen just means truth. That's truth. I believe that. I agree with that. I want some more of that. We have a responsibility to praise God and say thanks because of who He is and what He's done. In the New Testament, book of Colossians, Paul, he says this, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you are called in one body. And be thankful. Think about that. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. He came here to fix the broken relationship between us and God. He gave us the peace that passes all human understanding. And Paul says, let that sink in and stick there. Let it be inside of you. Because that's what makes you one with Jesus, one with the Father, one with the Holy Spirit, and therefore one with all the other believers. And when you have that deep down inside of you, you've got every reason to be thankful. Thank God. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you. Now, that's not just the written word that we're talking about here. It goes beyond that. But the word of God that is here, inspired on these pages that we have, is certainly part of this. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with what? Psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Again, musical worship is an important component to our worship services. It it lets us express our deep down feeling back to God. I certainly hope we have some chesed back toward Him. We like you, God, and we want you to know that. And we are so thankful for all the things you've done because we're part of your family. When we sing, we don't just sing to God, we sing to each other. It's a group thing. And then Paul makes this application. It's not just simply what happens here when we gather like this. He says, whatever you do in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. Thanksgiving is a federal American holiday that happens every single year. But Christian Thanksgiving happens every single day that Christians walk around on this planet. And let's never forget that. And the chief thing that we are thankful for is Jesus Christ. In fact, Paul put it this way. He's writing to the Corinthians, and he's talking to them about all their little problems that they've got, that he's got fixes for. But the one thing that he throws out there is this: thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Who is that? Who is it? And what does his name mean? He who is salvation. That is where we go every single day. We go back to that. I thank you, God, for Jesus who saved me and gave me a fresh start. And I thank you that he didn't just do it for me. He did it for every person I come into contact with. And if you really believe that, you will treat every single person you come into contact with differently. No matter how they treat you, you will not reciprocate in a hateful, spiteful way, because you know in your heart Jesus died for them. Jesus has chesed toward them. He likes them and he wants them saved. And I am his agent. I am his child looking for a lost sibling. How about this? Hebrews chapter 13. And this requires something I've taught you before too. In Hebrew, let's do our little Hebrew work here. This, everybody put your hand up in the air like this. Wiggle your fingers around. That's a yod. Everybody say yod. 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 And when you stretch your hand out, whether it's singular or this, that's yada. Everybody say yada. And when you have something in your hand, everybody put something in your hand. This is a gift. It's something special. Okay? It's something you're giving to somebody in thanks. It's a thank you gift. And you lift it up like this. That's toda. Toda. Everybody say toda. Toda. That's actually how you say thank you in Hebrew, even today. Toda. Toda. The stretching forth of your hands in Hebrew means to praise. But particularly to give thanks in praise to God. That's why you lift up holy hands in prayer. Through him then, that is through Jesus, because the book of Hebrews is all about Jesus, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of lips that give thanks to his name. And do not neglect doing good and sharing, for with such sacrifices God is pleased. We have a responsibility as Christians to give thanks to God. It is part of our worship. It is part of our action of worship. But again, it doesn't end when we leave the building, when we leave the assembly. It continues when we go out there and do the things that God redeemed us for through Jesus Christ. Every last one of us have good works, good actions that were created by God for us to walk in. That's Ephesians chapter 1. And so here in the book of Hebrews, the author says, when you think about praise, when you think about giving thanks to God, don't forget to go out there and pass it on. Don't forget to go out there and do good things to other people. Don't forget to go out there and share your excitement and your bounty of relationship with God with other people. See, this is the evangelistic move of the church. This is the attitude of gratitude that turns into an attitude of sharing. I love Jesus, and I want other people to love Jesus too. And that is our act of worship. When it says here, with such sacrifices God is pleased, it's not talking about, oh, I have to sacrifice things. I have to give things up. No. A sacrifice was something you did for God. And so the thing that makes God smile is to see us so thankful that we want other people to know what we're thankful for. And the chief thing we're thankful for is Jesus and salvation. So I hope that you will spend the rest of this holiday weekend enjoying some more turkey, cranberry dressing, whatever it is that you enjoy the most, and all that meal that's still left over. I hope you spend some time off still today with family and friends. But when you leave this place and this holiday and go into the new week, and soon we'll be going into the new year, I hope you will continue to be thankful to God, giving Him thanksgiving by going out and reminding others what you're thankful for, specifically salvation in Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the time we got to spend this morning singing songs of praise and encouragement to each other. Thank you for the holiday that we've gotten to spend these last few days with those that we love and care about. Thank you for all the blessings you poured out on us as the Father of lights. But thank you most of all for your indescribable gift of salvation in Jesus Christ. Let us not be stingy with that gift that was intended to be passed on. Let us make the world understand what they need to be thankful for. It's in Christ's name we pray this. Amen.